This is WBAA. I'm Betty Carson. Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library, reviews Porch Talk, Stories of Decency, Common Sense, and Other Endangered Species by Indiana author and essayist Philip Gully. Schinkel begins his review by reading from the chapter entitled Porch Talk.
Several years back, I was visiting an elderly woman in my Quaker meeting. She was reminiscing about her childhood. I asked her what she missed the most. She closed her eyes for a moment, thinking back, then said, "Porch talk. I miss the porch talk." Social scientists and preachers offer a number of reasons for the decline of civil society. I believe all that is wrong with our world can be attributed to the shortage of front porches and the talks we had on them. Somewhere around 1950, builders left off the front porch to save money, and we've had nothing but problems ever since. Prior to the subdivision, whenever people built a home, they had the good sense to add a porch. I'm as much for saving money as the next guy, but porches are not the place to do it. All manner of lessons were learned on the front porch. When the porches went, so did the stories and the wisdom with them. Today, we do our talking during the commercial breaks. This is a profound tragedy, but one we could correct by putting our televisions in the closet and porches on our homes. There was an etiquette to porch sitting. People would approach our porch and stop at the foot of the steps, awaiting an invitation to join us. If one wasn't forthcoming, they knew delicate matters were being discussed and would excuse themselves after a brief exchange of pleasantries. This rule was never discussed or written down, but was generally known and obeyed by all, except by children and dull-witted adults. In this season of giving and sharing, I can think of no better author to discover or to rediscover than Indiana's own Philip Gully. Gully is the author of a number of small-town quiet novels and a Quaker minister by trade. And his Porch Talk, the subject of today's review, is a great introduction to this treasured Hoosier author. I personally rediscovered Gully's writing as I recently had the pleasure of listening to Mr. Gully speak at a library meeting in Plainfield, near his hometown of Danville, Indiana. And I gotta say, Philip Gully's talk is as engaging, low-key, humor-filled, and wise as is his writing. He is the epitome of all that is good and worthwhile about Hoosier writers, I think. Gully's work is simply presented on its surface, but give his writing just a few moments to percolate into your mind, and you'll find his writing is thoughtful, wise, if quietly stated. You could say that reading Philip Gully, or listening to him talk, is like spending time with an old friend on your front porch, or relaxing in your living room or kitchen. Gully writes about that which he knows, be it small town and family life in his novels, which are set in the fictitious town of Harmony, which feature a Quaker minister as one of the lead characters, no less. Or, as in today's title, the joys of communal talk that can be highlighted with the term porch talk. Well, I mentioned that Philip Gully likes to write about the everyday things of life and draws from that somewhat larger conclusions about the way life is and perhaps the way we would like life to be. In his chapter in today's book entitled Camping, he takes on those misty times of childhood and brings a bit of adult humor and wisdom, I think, to those memories. So from the chapter entitled Camping. When I was a child, it was my custom to regularly retire to the woods, bearing a knapsack with a rolled sleeping bag tied to it with shoelaces. My pack held a small frying pan, a spoon, an assortment of canned goods, a canteen of water, a hatchet, a book of Ohio blue-tip matches, and a sheet of plastic in the event of rain. I passed many leisurely days and nights in the woods surrounding our town, accompanied by two or three friends who were similarly equipped. I started doing this when I was 12 years old, in all types of weather, and never once returned home in worse condition than when I left. Whenever I speak of those days, people say, "Well, you wouldn't let a child do that today." but I would let my sons do it in a moment. Those evenings spent beside the campfire, in the woods outside our town, remain the source of my most pleasant childhood memories. I return to them happily and often, and would be delighted if, in their later years, my sons could enjoy similar recollections. The marvel of camping was, and continues to be, its simplicity. A general rule of thumb is this: if you return home smelling clean, if your clothing is fresh and pressed, your hair washed and combed, you haven't been camping. And then there is the chapter entitled The Natural Order of Things, where Philip Gully talks about raising kids and how perhaps it does take a village to raise children, or at least it certainly helps to have more than one person watching over young ones. Here's Philip Gully. Things are more complicated now than when I was a kid. It's no longer clear on whose side we belong. When I was a kid, it was the children versus the adults. Every grown-up in town conspired to rein me in. They felt free to correct, coerce, and otherwise control me. If I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing, Eddie Swanson's mother was as likely to box my ears as my own mother. It wasn't that I was singularly bad. This was just the accepted custom. Adults and children were at odds. Everyone knew it, accepted it as inevitable, and was faithful to their assigned role. We children tried to get away with whatever we could, and it was the adults' job to see that we didn't. But I've been wondering when it was adults went from being children's enemies to their best friends. I was talking with my neighbor Jim about this one day when we were splitting firewood. Jim is a seat-of-the-pants philosopher, not big on books, but strong on conventional wisdom. "How come our children like us?" I asked. "Whatever happened to the good old days when children despised adults?" Jim picked up an axe. He always thinks better with a tool in his hand. "Folks move too much," he said. "Used to be, folks stayed put. Kids made kid friends, and the grown-ups made grown-up friends. Now we're moving around too much, and the whole natural order of things is upset. I've lived in the same small town a good chunk of my life, and finally know my way around. If the people at my job told me I had to move, I'd find a new job. I don't have the energy to learn the peculiarities of a new place. When there's a heavy snow and the cars can't make it up the hill in front of the park, I know to take the back way home. When the storm drain in front of my house clogs, I know to call Rob Roberts, send a man to clean it out. Janet at the library knows what kind of books I like and sets them aside for me to read. Leonard at the co-op knows I enjoy sweet corn and leaves a grocery sack full on my porch each August. We can pass all the laws we want, reform our schools, lobby our politicians, write our blogs, and take out ads. But my nickel is on the folks who meddle in the lives of children, those benevolent dictators who care less about being a child's friend and more about what kind of people we'll one day turn loose in the world. These are the reasons I stay where I do, that I mind my business and everyone else's, and they know and mind mine. Some people don't like small towns, finding the scrutiny unbearable, but I prefer to think of it as the tie that binds. Well, you may remember my last mention of Philip Gully when I reviewed the photo extravaganza that is Fair Culture, a book showing us the wonders of county and state fairs in Indiana, where Gully offered a trademark low-key but evocative introduction to his friend Harold Lee Miller's collection of stunning photography. Gully's work is as likely to show up in book introductions or in collected essays as they are in novel or nonfiction format. And before we get all dewy-eyed with Philip Gully's deserved reputation for writing warm-hearted riffs on contemporary life in modern Midwest America, let me note, too, that if you want to start a robust religious discussion, pick up one of Gully's theological tomes. His most recently published book, The Evolution of Faith, How God is Creating a Better Christianity, published just this year, is a great example. You'll get lots of fur flying if you read from that one with your friends, I dare say. But back to Philip Gully's novels and essays, commentators as diverse as Charles Osgood from CBS's Sunday Morning, humorist Bob Green, and the late radio host Paul Harvey Jr., have praised Gully's novels and his essays. I'm glad to add my name to that already glowing list of praise. I want to finish by reading a little bit more from that opening essay or chapter entitled Porch Talk, where Philip Gully fills us in a little bit more on what those wonderful days of yore were like when we sat out on our front porch, actually knew our neighbors, and probably chatted with them once or even more each week. As Philip Gully writes, "The magic of our porch talks, I now recall, was not only their depth, but their breadth. My grandmother provided the depth, and I provided the scattering of topics, a hint of my future as a commentator on matters large and small. We discussed Lawrence Welk, the Virgin Mary, Richard Nixon, the gold standard, and the merits of homemade ice cream versus store-bought. I especially remember a fascinating talk about my family's history with moonshine. I do not wish to romanticize the porch. Not all of its talk reached the level of Plato or Jefferson, but there was a luster to those talks, a certain glow and depth, lacking in these days of email and instant messaging. Perhaps it was the parentheses of silence, the bracketing of conversation with reflection. When my wife and I bought our home, we gave careful consideration to the number of bedrooms and bathrooms. Little did we realize, the most valuable real estate would be the 200 square feet of our porch. On it, we have solved all of the world's problems, evening after pleasant evening, arcing back and forth in our wicker swing, the twilight breeze bearing all our cares away." Warm and witty and quite approachable, as well as thoughtful, Philip Gully from the book Porch Talk. And he's written many, many other fine novels, essays, and some interesting theological tomes as well. Many of them are available at all of our fine libraries and certainly at the West Lafayette Public Library.
That was Nick Schinkel, the director of the West Lafayette Public Library. He's reviewed Porch Talk, Stories of Decency, Common Sense, and Other Endangered Species by Indiana author and essayist Philip Gully.